everyone. Welcome to the Latin Excellence Podcast. I'm Gabby.
And this is Carlos.
And we are Los Riveras. Our show features stories of top performers in the Latinx community and helps you discover practical insights that you can apply to your own personal journey. In this episode, we connect with Janet Cruz Padron, founder of a financial empowerment platform called Latina Money. Janet shares the ways in which money has played a significant role in her life and in her culture, and how eliminating the taboo about talking about money has led her to help clients attain financial empowerment. Please join us as we welcome Janet to the Latin Excellence Podcast. Okay, so hi everyone. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Latin Excellence. We are so excited today to have the honor of speaking with Janet Cruz Padron, founder of Latina Money, which is an awesome financial empowerment platform that she's going to tell us all about. So we're super excited to have her. Thank you so much for coming on, Janet.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really exciting to be part of your platform. And I think, you know, it's obviously just the beginning of a very beautiful friendship, relationship, and, you know, collaboration. So I'm excited, you know, to have finally connected with you guys and make some magic happen.
Yes.
Thank you.
Same. So let's dive right in. We have lots of questions for you, and I know our listeners are very eager to hear from you. So let's dive in. Can you start by just telling us a little bit about your platform and maybe how you got started?
Yeah, absolutely. It's wealth creation for the modern Latina. Where the idea really came from is my personal journey and really trying to learn more about money. You know, I'm a daughter of immigrant parents from Mexico who came in the 80s. And growing up, I really saw them, you know, they worked labor jobs. So by the time they got, you know, a little bit older, this, you know, were kind of wasting away because of the manual labor, because of it's so, you know, just they were on survival mode. So I think that that really took a toll on them, you know, mentally, physically, spiritually, everything. In search of, you know, of course, the American dream. And I think that, you know, we were really fortunate to grow up with, you know, que no, nada nos faltaba, but really it was at a big expense, you know, a big cost, which was their, essentially, you know, their mental health, their physical health. And I think that it was that experience of really witnessing them, you know, really kind of wasting away because of work or constantly trying to be on survival mode that, you know, it inspired me to really just learn how to get better with money so I could, you know, for my family, for my future generations, not to have to see their parents go through that. So, you know, I was really fortunate to have been working in the government sector for about 10 plus years prior to, really committing to Latina Money. So within that realm, I really got to meet, you know, a lot of brilliant people, many that were very well off. So what I decided to do, you know, kind of combine those two experiences, you know, the behind the scenes of working with the government that, you know, of course has tons and tons, you know, when they deal with facts and when they deal with numbers, those numbers are huge, you know?
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think a big part of myself also was constantly thinking, how is it possible that, you know, so many people deal with such big numbers, but then people in our community sometimes struggle just to make a cell phone bill, you know? And it's right. That huge contrast that really got me even more curious to say, okay, what is it that I don't know? What is it that I need to know to be able to be in a better position, you know, so we're not constantly struggling and dying broke, which unfortunately is all too common within the Latinx community. So I started recording a lot of those conversations, you know, obviously with their permission, and really putting them out on, or wanting to put them out. When I, you know, got this bright idea of wanting to do a podcast, it was right around Hispanic Heritage Month in 2018. So I thought to myself, it'd be a wonderful opportunity to have these same money conversations, but with Latinas, you know, like Latina creatives, entrepreneurs, and really highlight you know, their experiences, their money stories. So I started, you know, seeking out Latinas that I really, you know, that I followed, that I felt very, you know, they were just doing their thing. So mm-hmm. I would connect with them, have this, you know, essentially the same conversations, having them kind of teach me where, you know, how they were getting their success, you know? Yeah. So recorded those, put them out as a podcast, which became the Latina Money Podcast. And it's been really amazing to see, you know, just how our community has embraced those conversations.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point because, I mean, like for myself, like I grew up in an area where I grew up in Almaty, and at the time, the average income for per household was between $15,000 to $20,000 a year, which, I mean, when you look at that, it's like, holy cow, how do you go from, you know, that type of environment to those big companies who are, you know, multi-billion dollar companies. But then also you think about what you kind of mentioned was that there was an interest, right? There, you had that desire to kind of learn, that desire, especially now that we have so many, you know, free resources available for us to learn. You just got to put yourself and just tell yourself, you know, how can I learn? How can I start? So what was it for you like to kind of, you know, begin to shift from that corporate maybe job 9 to 5 into actually saying, hey, you know what, how do I get Latina Money, you know, full-time off the ground? So can you talk to us a little bit about that transition?
Great question. You know, one of the biggest things I think that was my motivator was, you know, like I mentioned, my parents and seeing their experience. And that really instilled in me that curiosity to learn how to stop trading, you know, time, health, and sanity for money, you know? And so when you have that, when that becomes a driving force, you do the research, like you hop on the computer and you say, okay, what can I do where I'm not constantly killing myself, you know, like at a job. And so that sort of started, you know, the follow the white rabbit, right? So I would do the research, and then that led me to what I didn't know the term back then, but it turned out to be passive income, you know? So it's how do I create passive income? So, you know, just that search led to so many more different things. And, you know, the idea of multiple streams of income. And so one thing really led to another, but it was more like, it stemmed from that drive to say, okay, how do I multiply my efforts? How do I multiply myself without, you know, putting in 24 hours of work, which is impossible, right? Obviously, you know, but, well, not impossible, but not something that's sustainable, but.
Right, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was there a particular item or product that you were selling that were like, okay, now this is definitely something that I can really get into, that kind of just gave you that positive feedback that, okay, I have actually something here, a positive company or a company that I can actually get into?
Yeah, actually, at the beginning, for the platform, I was, you know, doing shirts like this, that I speak the needle, because I felt that that was a very powerful message for me. You know, when we're well versed on how money works, like within the money conversation, you know, that sense of like cultural, I guess, separation doesn't exist, you know, because everybody speaks. Right. You know, if you learn the language of money, it doesn't matter whether you're Hispanic, whether you're any sort of other race, it is the numbers are the numbers, right? So when I started making these shirts for myself, I, you know, would put them on Instagram and people would be like, where can I buy one of those? And I'm like, well, I don't really, I mean, it was for myself. So I started producing shirts, and that was, you know, a sort of a gateway to really selling, merchandise, I guess, through my Instagram. So that was one of the streams that opened up from there. But then also, you know, the knowledge that I was accumulating, that I was really absorbing, people wanted to sort of, to, you know, get the Cliff Notes, right, version of it. So I started putting out workbooks, and, you know, now we have an online class. So that's been really great for the community to also, you know, really get their hands on the information in a tangible way. And of course, benefit from the Cliff's Note version of, you know, all the research that I've done for myself. And so that's been, you know, really what supports the platform. And then of course, like on, you know, personally, I have my own set of investments that I've, you know, been working on for for years previous to the actual platform.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And we definitely want to get into and learn more about your investments and what advice you have for our listeners. But I also want to, you are very humble, and I want to emphasize to our listeners how amazing this platform is. And I love the idea of, you know, the platform of a knowledge sharing business, because you not only, you know, have a podcast where you're sharing information, but you also host webinars and workshops, and you have different products, like you mentioned your t-shirt, and I also saw that you have like the financial planning workbooks and so many different things that really do share knowledge that you have available on this platform. I just think it's such an awesome idea. And so can you talk to us about, specific to the knowledge sharing platform, how can someone get started? If someone has like an idea and says, hey, maybe I'm good at this and I would love to share it, how do you even, like, what is the first step to even building that sort of business?
Well, you know, as if you want to put a label on it, anybody that sells information, they're called infopreneurs, you know, information entrepreneurs. I myself classify myself as a digital entrepreneur, because most of my, you know, obviously all of my platform is online. My products that I sell, like through e-commerce, are online, of course. So it's been, I think, a multiple step process. Obviously, it's not something that you know, it's a one-time thing that you set up and then you're done, right? So initially, you know, you have to decide that if you're going to be committed to it, you know, it's forming the LLC. So it's really doing the formal formation of a company, you know, that requires you to come up with a name, for you to register it with your state. And so there are multiple services that offer that, you know, the LLC formation. And then it's really just, you know, getting your website up. So there's multiple platforms that you can create websites through. One of my favorites that I believe is the easiest, it's Wix.com, because they have templates. I know a lot of people that have online e-commerce business go through Shopify. So that's another, you know, it's another platform that people can explore. They also have templates. So, you know, you don't have that barrier of needing to be a website designer, to be really tech savvy, to really jump in there. Of course, you know, have a solid idea of what it is that you're offering, you know, that what your message is, what it is that you, the value that people are going to be getting from the content that you put out there. So I think it's, you know, obviously a combination of being really passionate about, being really certain about the information and the value that you're providing, that it's useful, obviously, that people are looking for it, that it's going to help them make some sort of shift in their life. But then also, you know, those back end office tasks, like actually registering with your state, making sure that you have, you know, a business entity, an EIN number, all of those, you know, tax, sort of like your ducks in a row when it comes to being acknowledged by the state, really.
Yeah. So one particular thing is, you know, that we want to talk about is branding. And obviously when I think about branding, there's, for a company, there's two types of things, right? There's branding of the company by itself, but then there's other situations like your company where you actually are the brand, right? So why is it important, or maybe talk to us a little bit about why it's important to make sure that you have your own kind of branding and that you really symbolize the company?
You know, that in itself has been sort of a double-edged sword, because, you know, when I set out to start Latina Money, it was about the message, you know, it was like, I'm so passionate about it. I'm like, I know this is, we need this, like, we need to talk about these things. And I didn't realize that I guess maybe naively, I didn't realize that I would have to kind of be the face for it, because I, you know, if you go back to my Instagram, which is where really our community thrives, you know, on Instagram, if you kind of go back to my earlier posts, it's like all information, because that's what I'm passionate about, right? It's like getting this conversation started and making sure that, you know, that people kind of see like that it can change so much for you. And it's been, you know, I think kind of a test of me facing my fears as well to be the face of, you know, this particular platform, because I didn't set out for it to be that way. You know, it was really more about the message. But, you know, I think that it helps to put my story out there and for people to see that, you know, we have so much in common because we, you know, we grew up obviously in the same culture and there's so many commonalities. And I think it helps to know that we're not alone in going through, you know, this set of struggles almost, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I was thinking about the other podcast guests that we've had on the show, and there's a common theme that everyone talks about. And it's this concept of just staying authentic and being true to yourself. And, you know, for you, it was wanting to share the message, education, and really share, but that ultimately turned into your brand, right? And who you are and how you share that message. But I think it's because you are so authentic with your passion, right, for sharing this knowledge that people are gravitate towards you. And so we talk about that all the time. Like, yeah. How do we build our brand? Because it's a little scary to put yourself out there and say, well, this is who I want to be. But being yourself is scary, yeah. You know?
It is. And I think that that's part of, you know, what I was saying, like mentioning facing your fears. Because ultimately, when you're in the public of any sort, and, you know, you mentioned that Carlos was in the entertainment, you know, space as well. It's hard, you know, because yeah. No matter how much you know yourself and, you know, how much you could be comfortable with yourself in private, when you put yourself out in public, it's, you know, we might be tough skinned, say what you want, but there's always that part of us that feels like, oh, how are people going to respond to, you know, something that I do or something that I say, or, you know, so there's always that little voice within us that's kind of always wondering, second guessing. But I think, again, kind of going back to, you know, the bigger picture. And I think that that's what's helped me really put myself out there as saying, okay, if I'm going to be the face of this message, then I'm going to do the best that I can, because it's about the why, the message. Like, and so I think that's, you know, when you feel those fears of branding, I think it's just a matter of really going within, saying, what is it that what is the purpose of what it is, you know, what I'm doing? What kind of change do I want to see within the space that I'm creating?
Yeah.
And the vision is so important.
And I think just coming out of your own shell is pretty tough by itself. And especially, like, I mean, your subject of being financially independent, I mean, even in our culture, right? Like, I know there's conversations that we've had with, like, our own family, and they'll say, you know, if you want to be frugal or spend, you know, they'll have different terms, and maybe you've heard of, I don't know, but, you know, él es muy codo, or is, yes, you know, there's other stuff that they could say, like, I don't know.
True.
Yeah. Yes. Right. So there's already kind of like language or barriers around that already. Mm-hmm. But maybe shifting gears a little bit. So obviously with your platform, you educate people on how to be financially independent. So can you talk to us a little bit about what does it mean to actually invest intelligently?
You know, investing is really putting your money in places where it can have your back when you really need it. You know, I mean, all the complicatedness aside, it's putting it in a place that, you know, your money can work for you through, you know, compound interest, which is you're getting paid to, you know, keep your money somewhere. I think that that's something that our, you know, culture and our community, you know, really could benefit from, because we're such hard workers. Like, that's just not even debatable, you know? And I think when we kind of take that hardworkingness to the next level and have our money actually work for us is when things can start shifting for us. So in terms of investing, you know, it's really investing in, you know, assets as opposed to liabilities, which, you know, I think really in the simplest forms, assets are anything that put money in your pocket, and liabilities are anything that take money out of your pocket. So, you know, traditionally assets are, you know, like real estate, stocks, businesses. It could, you know, there's tons of ways that you can, you know, where you can invest your money where it's giving you some sort of return. Whereas, you know, the liabilities are pretty much all the luxuries, like the fun toys, which are fun. But, you know, once you get to that space of maybe, you know, you've accumulated enough assets that those assets could pay for your luxuries or they pay for the toys, I think that that is also a really big shift, you know, for us. Mm-hmm.
what do you recommend as some of the top three things or things that we should be doing, whether it's in personal finance or paying off debt, that we should actually, like, how much should we actually be spending? How much should we actually be saving? Can you talk to us maybe like three things that you recommend that some of our users can take to at least get started now?
I really recommend a lot of the, you know, the girls, just anybody that really stops by our platform, to really focus on having a good emergency fund. Obviously, generally they advise for you to have 3 to 6 months worth of income. And that's, but realistically, more than that is never a bad thing, right? So it's really just figuring out, crunching your own numbers and say, okay, this is, if I were to lose my job or my, you know, source of income now, how long would it take me to maybe find something else or to, you know, to really bounce back or to jump out? So I think kind of gauging that will help you figure out what's a comfortable place for you with your expenses. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, with investing, I think, you know, it overwhelms a lot of people because there's just so much that goes with it. But I always advise people just to start small. When I started investing, this was about 10 years ago, I had a little bit of play money. So I opened up an Ameritrade account, which is, you know, through an app on your phone. So then I just deposited money in there and started buying stocks until my play money was gone, you know. But then, you know, the one thing about the stock market, if you're not, you know, really experienced, you're going to have to sit on those investments for a while, you know. And thankfully, you know, I had bought Apple stock back in 2010 when it was dirt cheap. And, you know, I sat on it for a long time and, you know, now it's worth a lot of, you know, a lot more money than I purchased it for. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just taking that initial leap because I didn't know what I was doing 10 years ago when I, you know, was just kind of playing around with my money, buying stuff, like buying stocks. But that, again, kind of one thing leads to another, because when you see, got 10 cents of return or a couple dollars return, you get excited. You're like, okay, how can I, you know, build on this?
And what are some other, so you mentioned an app that you use, but what are some other apps that you recommend for, you know, a beginner who's never invested before? What are some tools that they can use to get started?
Well, Acorns obviously is one of my favorites because it's typically labeled as micro investing. So it's, you know, you download these apps. That and Robinhood, I think, are the two biggest ones or the best known ones. They'll let you do, they'll take your spare change and then buy fractions of stocks. You are an owner of a stock, you know, you're in the stock market now. But the entry to actually start investing, it's, you know, the cost is really low. So it's obviously, you know, your spare change, a couple of dollars here and there a month, I think five, you know, with Acorns or Robinhood. So it, you know, the risk is low. And I think that it helps because again, you start getting excited, like, okay, I see my money kind of, you know, getting a return on my change or getting return on my couple dollars. And then that starts sort of, you know, sparking that enthusiasm to want to do a little bit more or to, you know, graduate to maybe a bigger platform or, you know, try different apps. Mm-hmm. So that's always a way that I, you know, recommend to my folks in my community to start with micro investing. But then once you want to, you know, get really advanced with it, then that's a whole different app, yeah. You know, obviously. Well,
that'd be a part two. I'll share my stock list with you, and then you can tell me what's a good one and what's a bad one.
Well, there's so many, you know, so many interesting industries, especially like during a pandemic and stuff, that you can kind of explore and start getting in there with, you know, kind of going back to that, to what we're saying about the house and, you know, the conversation, the cultural conversation. I think it's also, you know, really great to spin certain things a different way. So, you know, when we kind of talk to our people within our community and saying, okay, when you want to invest your money, do you want to invest it in real estate? Do you want to, you know, well, a lot of us are interested in real estate, you know, which is predominantly like buying our own house, but then taking that one step further and saying, okay, how can I make this investment work for me as well, as opposed to just having a place to live?
Right.
You know, one of the most interesting things was, you know, seeing a lot of people buy duplex now or multi-unit mm-hmm. property. So, you know, I think it's a great incentive to tell people, hey, you know, you can invest in real estate, but try, you know, think a little bit bigger as opposed to just buying yourself a house. You could buy a duplex, maybe rent one where you then you get paid to essentially live on your own property because of rent or, you know, however you can kind of work that out. But, you know, kind of taking the sort of expanding our mind and thinking bigger picture and say, okay, how can I do the traditional things, but then also put myself in a space where I have a little bit more wiggle room, or, you know, my money that I'm putting into it can kind of turn around and work for me.
I think that's that right there is just is the key right. So there is key. Is shifting your mindset to not just think about, you know, I'm going to be buying a house so that I can live in, but instead, yes, it's an asset. Yes, it's a house, but how is that actually going to return money back to you? Mm-hmm. And just being able to use money as a tool, like you said, rather than just kind of like an object for just spending things.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting as we're talking about the whole cultural pressure is, you know, my girlfriends and I talk about it all the time. We share knowledge amongst ourselves and like, oh, you know, do you invest in your 401k or how do you do that? How do you do that? And it's so interesting to me that such a critical component of life is not taught in the early ages, right? Like we don't learn about it in school ever. Right. I think until you get to college and maybe you choose to be a finance major like Carlos and you learn all about finance. But that's, it's not taught. And so just thinking about how we do that and, you know, platforms like yours are so critical to be able to share that information and really help educate folks. But I just think it's like, man, we need a whole education reform because you're not teaching the basic skills of life.
Yeah. And it's not really common in our community, like you mentioned earlier, is that unfortunately we, you know, it's hard. And until we have people like yourself who we can actually see, we can relate to them who have similar backgrounds and us and can share their experiences with us, is that we don't really, you know, have that. And it's not until we do that we can actually start making some changes.
Well, I think you do such a great job of describing just our culture and the influence and how that impacts our relationship to money. And I think the beautiful thing is about our culture is that we're constantly learning and growing, right? Just like you mentioned, you see those around you and you want to do more, want to do better, learn the lesson. So we're very curious about what you think Latin excellence means, or what does that mean to you?
Learning what your options are, like what exists in the world, what are the possibilities? I think that that's, you know, really sets anybody up for excellence when you're able to kind of, you know, you have values, and but you're willing to hear other perspectives out, you know, really see what's out there in the world and kind of either pivot, shift, or stick, you know, to the values that you came to the table with. So I think, you know, within our community, that's, you know, I see it every single day, you know, that so many of us are just willing to step outside of what we've always known.
That's amazing. I can't wait to see what's next. So keep us posted and we'll definitely have to have you back once you unveil what you're working on. So before we wrap up, we like to end with these sort of rapid fire questions just to get to know you a little bit more. So could be one word, one sentence answer. So let's start with the first one. So name one person that you're currently following or that you admire.
Ooh, well, I've recently had the opportunity to interview Nelly Galan, and she is behind the self-made movement.
It's so cool. She's definitely a pioneer in that space. So that's awesome. Yeah. Okay, second question. So what book are you currently reading?
Ooh, well, it's this Bible. Do I have it? It's called How Not to Die.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Nice.
Michael Greger, and it says How to Not Die, Discover the Food Scientifically Proven to Prevent and Reverse Disease.
Okay, cool. Next question. So what is your favorite Spanish dicho?
Sería dime con, ¿cómo es? Dime con quién andas y te diré, o sea, quién eres.
Yeah, there was yourself with the right people for sure.
Yeah. Okay. One more question here. What would you want your younger self to know?
Let me tell you kind of like an indirect story with that is when I started an office job when I was much younger, was my first office job. I had always done like customer service, like working at a movie theater when I was like 15. But this was my first office job. And the girl that was training me, the first thing that she said is, make sure that you put away $20 from your paycheck. And I remember at the time, I was like, yeah, $20. Mm-hmm. And I never did it. You know, but I'm like, shoot, if I would have put $20.
I started back then.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, how funny.
And it's, you know, it just didn't click for me. So I think at the time, you know, it was, you know, such a easy sounding piece of advice. But, you know, now it's like, there's no, even if it's $5, put away something like that. You know, I wish my younger self would have jumped on that train. Because obviously, you know, it's money that you can tuck away and it's always going to be there for you. So I think that's what I've definitely would have shook in my younger self.
Like, yeah. Yeah. All you young people out there, I hope you're listening. Start now. Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Janet. We really appreciate your time. And I know our listeners are going to appreciate just hearing and learning from you. Where can they find more information about Latina Money and where can they connect with you?
Yes. Well, I'm always active on Instagram. Like I mentioned, our community is thriving on there. So we're always engaged in some sort of conversation, whether it's a funny post or, you know, some thoughtful article. I think that that's a great way to engage with our community. Of course, you can always find our resources at, you know, www.latinamoney.com. Podcast on iTunes, iHeart, and Stitcher. So people can always just tap into those whenever they feel like, you know, being in the money conversation as well.
Amazing. Very cool. Yeah, super helpful advice. And I'm sure we will, we're going to have you back on because we have so many more questions. But thanks so much. This has been extremely helpful and super insightful. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Janet.
If you've enjoyed listening to this episode, make sure to subscribe to our channel and leave us a review. You can also follow us on Instagram at Latin Excellence Podcast. Thanks again for listening. And hey, if you know someone we should be highlighting, feel free to drop us a note or a comment and let us know how we can share their story.